We're going to begin our little mini concert preview of Chamberfest Dubuque. Hari Bernstein is going to be performing music of Bach. But wait, the music stand is not quite where it needs to be.
Everything's good.
Okay, let's see. That looks like the right place. Okay, so this is the prelude to the Cello Suite No. 3, played by violist Hari Bernstein. Absolutely amazing. This fantastic Hari Bernstein. That was not only quite beautiful, but I was noticing that in some performances I might just hear scales or notes, but with you there was a real shape and direction and drama to it, and it was really beautiful and moving.
Thank you so much.
What's it like for you to play cello suites on the viola? It sounds like it was written perfectly for that instrument.
Well, as I like to say, Bach didn't play cello, but he did play viola.
Ah, good point.
So in all likelihood, they are written for cello, but I mean, you're the composer here, but I imagine that he tried things out. And I mean, I think that it's really natural to play the suites on viola.
Ah.
And of course, it's our bread and butter because we don't have as much repertoire as violin or cello.
Well, I encourage you to play as much repertoire as you can. It was really beautiful. Harry Bernstein. Is
Thank
it Bernstein
you.
Or Bernstein?
You know,
get your recordings to
well,
play on the air.
Well, we always grew up saying Bernstein, like Bernstein Bears. But
okay.
When I got more into the music thing, my parents also started saying Bernstein.
Okay, well, I used both, so I guess that's
I go
both
by
okay.
both. So.
All right, good. Okay. Well, next up on our list, thank you so much, Harry. That was gorgeous. So now we're going to hear Sean. This is a transcription of Bach, am I?
Yes. So while we're on the subject of playing Bach, not on the instrument it was written okay. for, my girlfriend's a violinist, so I hear lots of violin music, and I'm always stealing their repertoire. Not that we don't have enough repertoire already on the piano, but I just think there's a big tradition of, I think, Bach being transcribed for just any instrumental combination ever. And a couple of the, or a few of the violin suites and the cello suites have already been transcribed by various composers, Bartok, Rachmaninoff, Godovsky did a huge number of them. And this one, I don't think anybody has done. And I just kind of naturally heard that, you know, improvised it on the piano and thought I should write it down. And so, yeah, this is the third violin sonata, third movement.
I know there was a report from one of Bach's students that Bach himself loved to play his violin sonatas on the clavichord, and he'd fill out the harmonies and the counterpoints.
That's exactly what I'm
long tradition
what I'm trying to do. So
yeah, great. Here's Sean Chen, unaccompanied Bach movement transcribed for piano. I think we can all speak for Bach and say he would have been really thrilled to hear that. That was just glorious. And it's hard to imagine it being played on any other instrument. But,
thank you.
Apologies to your girlfriend. let me ask, Hari, I'd like to ask both of you, really, when you play Bach, nowadays there's just so much information about Bach, musicology, period instruments, all kinds of different ways of playing it. How much of that do you take in when you play? What kind of inputs do you draw on in developing your Bach playing?
I like to find a balance between what I know about Baroque performance practice and what I've been lucky enough to have taught me. At Juilliard, we had a good amount of exposure to period performance and informed performance. And so I do take that into account, that aesthetic. And at the same time, I am playing Bach on a modern instrument to also kind of my own more modern musical taste. And so it is a balancing act between what I find is like appropriate and also what suits me. And of course, I sometimes do wonder if a certain choice is appropriate or not. And it's part of the fun.
Yeah, it sounded perfectly integrated. You know, it didn't feel like you were pasting things together, but that you'd really blended them into something very, with a great integrity and beauty. That's great. Was that Monica Huggett who's there at Juilliard now, or did you?
She was there. There was also William Christie was there.
Wow.
And also, I was able to, during my time at Juilliard, go work with Thomas Riebel in Austria, who is also big on period performance, but also the integration of period technique into modern practice. So actually, Juilliard lent me at that time a Baroque bow to take with me to study with him so that I could use it.
So a lot went into that Bach performance we heard from you.
Actually, yeah.
And Sean, I it seems to me you would be coming at it from the standpoint of a composer, but do you have any interest in that sort of question?
I think, you know, Bach, we always say, or people always say, it's like pure music almost. Anything he wrote, it just sounds good on just about anything. I mean, you hear electric guitar play Bach and it sounds pretty dang good. So, you know, there's something so pure about his counterpoint and his structure and something so effective that you can really, I mean, you can mess with it beyond recognition, but, you know, in its form, and it implies so much in it that I think you can really take it any way, and as long as it's sincere to yourself and you really believe in it and you make it convincing, you know, not just doing it because you want to do something different, but because you believe in it, then that people might not like it, but I think as a performance, that's an effective thing. I do really enjoy period performance. I like the sound of it. It's so different from what I grew up listening to. And something sort of like when you hear a choir sing without the vibrato, the straight tone, if it's played in tune and with a good sound, it just sounds amazing. So I think every different interpretation lends a new perspective on whatever piece it is. And I think we can't discard it because it's either not authentic to the style or because we play on modern instruments.
And I felt in both of your playing that the emotions and the shape of the music and the high points and the places where it's going somewhere, they all felt so totally convincing and natural. But yeah, so much goes into it for you guys to get there. Well, next piece we're going to hear with cellist Madeline Cabot is also a sort of transcription because it was written for an instrument that kind of disappeared, right? Schubert's Arpeggione Sonata, am I right?
Yes, this seems to be a hodgepodge of transcriptions for us playing each other's music or other people's music, but cellists really like to play Schubert's Arpeggione Sonata.
Thankfully. There aren't many arpeggionis around. I think it's like the only thing written for it that's
known.
Still known, yeah. Yeah. And as I listen to this movement you're about to play, I hear his love of what he would have called the Hungarian style, kind of Roma flavor to it. Do you feel that when you play this? Or?
Yeah, you know, this piece has so much of, I don't know, just exuberance and fun, kind of, you know, this folksy Hungarian kind of feeling. But it's so beautiful. It's so song-like, you know, with Schubert and all of his vocal work. I still feel like it's a... it's a very lyrical piece.
Yeah.
Within all the jumping around and little notes.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to hear Madeline Cabot and Sean Chen playing the opening of Schubert's Arpeggione Sonata. Fantastic. The opening of Schubert's Arpeggione Sonata, Madeline Cabot and Sean Chen. Madeline, I felt it was like you were an opera singer in that opening section when you would slide up to a higher note, the way it sounded to me like an opera singer Schubert would have loved to have had writing, singing for him. Do you think about singing when you play that?
Thank you. I tried. You know, with Schubert, I always like to think about his other works and just what he was going for.
Yeah.
Try to figure out what's in the mind of the composer, as we've been talking about that topic.
And also very communicative to the minds of us listeners, I have to say. And I want to remind everybody, this is live in-studio performance, no studio trickery. That's all what they actually just played. Thank you, everyone. That was incredibly beautiful playing. And once again, if you're anywhere near Dubuque, do not miss this. Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Janssen Hall at Clark University, a chamber concert. Tonight, 7 o'clock, at the Heritage Center at the University of Dubuque, a concert with the orchestra.